in my path of spirituality and falling in love with God, there was also this underlying thing of my body is bad and I'm wrong. So my path to like true, complete wholeness and awakening has been through that relationship with my body. So a lot of my life, I feel like, is about how I have come into relationship with her.
Welcome to the Body Forward Podcast. I'm Kenzie Burke, your host. I am devoted to living a life that is full of transformation. Like a snake, shedding layers, coming back home to myself, and remembering who I really am. I have found that the answers we are often looking for, the freedom we seek to feel, the creative energy we desire, the confidence we would like to embody is not something outside of us, but within us. Our bodies are full of wisdom, remembrance, liberation, and it is here on this podcast where I share my personal journey and conversations with my mentors, friends, and others who are aspirational and living a life full of transformation. Today's guest is Mary Catherine, who is a teacher of mine, friend of mine, facilitator of mine. I have learned so much through Mary in such a short amount of time. She has truly changed my life and has been such a catapult for me. Her work is phenomenal. She is really into embodiment work. When I say the word tantra, you might think something, but it's really living a tantric life and really awakening your sensuality. And for me, it's really remembered who I am. It's helped me connect with the deeper parts of my creative center, my things that I've suppressed, and just awakened my aliveness, my body, my voice, my vulva, all of those things. And I'm so grateful to be able to share this conversation with you. I cannot emphasize enough how incredible it is to really awaken your aliveness, especially as a woman. And Mary's body of work is just such a catapult for that. And so this conversation is really deep and rich. And I was looking back at the footage. We recorded it actually 2 weeks ago from when I'm doing this intro. And she has really held such a space for me during this time in my life as I've been really awakening into this new level of self. And I was so delicate during this conversation. I was just still really feeling in the muck and in the wow and in the death process that I have been in previously. And I was holding back tears this entire episode, but it's so beautiful just to see how much can even shift in a couple weeks. And if you resonate with this conversation, Mary and I are actually going to be hosting an online class. You'll hear the type of classes that she teaches and she facilitates in this episode. And her and I are coming together and bringing one to the world and to you so that you can try it and remember who you are and awaken your aliveness if this calls to you and if you feel interested. So stay tuned and keep your eyes posted on my Instagram because that's where I'll be announcing everything. And yeah, without further ado, I'll let you jump into the episode now. Well, thank you for being here.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to open by sharing my deepest gratitude for you. And how much you've just changed my life in such a short amount of time.
Yeah. Same to you. It's a reciprocal experience. And thank you for receiving me and letting me in and trusting and
free falling
into yourself.
Yeah.
Again and again.
Oh, we're going again.
Yeah. It's been an unexpected and absolutely welcomed yes to our souls meeting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like since I met you, even with this podcast, I've been just on a whole new trajectory of life. So it feels so fitting to have you here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So with that.
Yes, yes.
Who are you? My amazing teacher, mentor.
Yeah.
and so much more. But how do you feel called to introduce yourself to the world?
Yes. Oh, man. What a question. Who am I?
I know. I don't like that question. I always ask it to people. Well, but I don't love being asked it because I'm like, I'm so many things.
Yeah. I actually like it better than what do you do? That is definitely where I get tripped up. It's like, how do we explain?
I've been trying to say, what's on your heart? What do you feel called to share?
Yeah. I think that's good for context. So who am I?
Yeah.
I'll just flow with what's come to mind. You know, I am a woman who has always, as long as I can remember, had a heart for knowing God. I mean, that's really the ultimate underpinnings of who I would identify myself as. If I look, and I have been over the past couple of years looking back at like, what really is that which I'm all about? And, you know, from a very early age, my desire to connect with that which was beyond me was so alive within me. And so I was handed kind of the access point of Christianity and Jesus to get there. And I'm so grateful for that. And yet, even with that stripped away, it's just that desire to know love, you know, mm-hmm. and to experience intimacy with that which is beyond, in the unseen realms. So while I am very much a woman here on the earth, and there's so many different things that I've done here on earth, you know, really my connection to the unseen has always been the pervasive, you know, through line of my existence. So I can keep flowing, or do you want me to?
No, keep flowing.
Okay, so building upon that, you know, I like so many who were born in, well, I'll just say, building upon that, I, you know, found myself growing up through high school and through college really devoting myself. I would say I'm a devotional being, you know, and so specifically devoting myself to activities and things in the church, you know, and finding a lot of like belonging there, but a lot of leadership as well. And again, I mention all of that just because I'm building my spiritual authority. I'm building my spiritual knowing, not knowing that I'm doing it, of course, you know. Yeah. And so with that, however, came, you know, coming from religion and coming from the church came a lot of cultural and religious messaging about what it is to be a woman. And so while there was a devotional aspect to my being, there was also a very like strong, pervasive message that I was like absolutely wrong and bad based on original sin. And additionally, just essentially feeling bad and wrong for just being born a woman. You know, the messages we got, at least for me and a lot of people, I think in America, got the message of like, Eve is the reason this all went to shit, mm-hmm. you know? And it's like, so we're born as women and it's like, oh my gosh, you know?
It's just a lot of no.
Yeah, it's a lot of no. You're wrong for being existing. You're wrong mm-hmm. for being born into this female body. Go ahead and start apologizing. And mm-hmm. then, of course, be smaller, be thinner, be quieter, but be holy, but also be, you know, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I didn't bypass getting all those messages. And I was a really, due to some, you know, other traumatic things that happened in my childhood, I ended up having a interesting relation, not interesting, a very disordered relationship with eating and my body. And so I mention that because in my path of spirituality and falling in love with God, there was also this underlying thing of my body is bad and I'm wrong. So my path to like true complete wholeness and awakening has been through that relationship with my body. So a lot of my life, I feel like, is about how I have come into relationship with her, you know, and through that process, like an all out battle of trying to connect with and fall in love with and accept and be in approval of my form. That's defined not only a lot of my personal life, but a lot of my professional life. And it's kind of since been what I've kind of gone on. So just real quickly. So, you know, going to high school and college, you know, having all of those experiences and beginning to wake up, you know, and starting to feel like, there, essentially, even though I was a very devout, like, Christian girl, my body was, like, breaking down, and mm-hmm. something had to give. So I had to really walk away for a moment from my Christian upbringing, hoping that I would come back to it, maybe, at some point, but knowing that I was desperate. You know, I didn't have a period for, like, 3 years. I had ended up getting married in a, you know, waiting till I was a virgin to get married and ended up being in a sexless marriage. And anyway, and so what I found was I needed to really address what was going on within myself and my body, and the teachings that I was born with were not sufficient. They weren't helping me. They were, in fact, adding to the shame and the shutdown and the suppression. And so I, with a great faith, kind of started to step away from that. And that's when I found some of my teachers and began to go on the path of Tantra. And yeah. So who am I?
No, that's so perfect.
A lot of your story, I guess, defines you.
Yeah,
so
it is your story that really makes who you are.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Your story just gave me so much hope, and it just allowed me to start opening my body to what I needed to open to.
Yeah.
In so many ways.
Yeah.
I think after we had our first ceremony container and you were telling me a story from when you were 26?
Probably, yeah.
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 Went from like weightlifting and and all of that to, I mean, you can tell the story better, sure. But I just had a moment to know, to see you just so embodied and so in your body, and to see how you were able to even direct me to be in my body. And then to know that that wasn't always you, it just gave me so much hope. And in such a short amount of time, I feel like I've made so much progress in remembering.
Oh my gosh.
Night and day.
Yes.
Yeah. So would you tell that story?
Oh, of course.
I love that story.
Yeah. It's so good. And I love that you asked that. You know, it's so good, just especially as sisters, just to like share our stories, because we see so much of ourselves in them. And even that as teachers. I love that you always are calling me forward to share my story, you know. So absolutely. So, you know, at the time, what I had shared with you, I believe at the time was, you know, when I was 23 years old, I moved to Los Angeles as a personal trainer. I was married in a sexless marriage. I hadn't had a period that, you know, by 25, my period had been gone for 2 years. I was a really successful personal trainer. And in that world came a lot of pressure to be thinner. And I was part of infomercials and like doing the whole thing, you know, fitness. I was in it. And the pressure I was putting on myself to be perfect and smaller and thinner, reached a really intense point. Not to mention my hair was falling out. I didn't have a libido to speak of. I felt like my marriage was going to fall apart if I didn't find that libido somewhere. So it was really intense. And so I'll never forget one day I, you know, had a full list of clients for personal training. And I just, I at the time was like weighing myself like 15 times a day. And I was giving so much power to this like lifeless piece of metal to see if I could like love myself that day. And by God's grace, somehow I just decided that was enough. I mean, I think I had a high tolerance for, you know, it being really hard. So it had been hard for a while. And so at this point I just was like, I just kept hearing smash the scales. And I don't think this is the story I necessarily told you.
No, it is.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And I just went into my bathroom, took my scales off of the bathroom floor, went off my Los Angeles balcony and just threw them like two stories down, and then they did not break. So I had to go down there dramatically and pick them up, and then like really. But you know, I'll say that there was something really, even telling the story now, I did something in the physical realm that marked like a declaration of like, and I remember thinking, I don't know what's on the other side of this. I definitely want to live a healthy, happy life, and I don't want to, and at the time my language was, I don't want to be fat, you know, but this is miserable and I'm dying and I don't have any life force inside of me. So I don't know what's on the other side of this, but not this. And I'm going on a hunt for healing, you know? So making that declaration, using that dramatic experience of smashing the scales was actually really empowering, because it marks a before and after in my mind. And so anyway, threw the scales off, and that's truly when I, quit my work as a personal trainer, went to Coachella. I just laugh about this because I was like, hey, I'm going to Coachella. It's like smoked weed for the first time, ate like I don't know, ate French fries and red velvet cake as much as I wanted because I had been so restrictive, you know, and ultimately found my way to a seminar actually with integrative nutrition. We both graduated from the same nutrition school and I had gone to a conference, and it was at that conference a couple of months after smashing the scales that my teacher, Jenna LaFlemme, walked on stage. She had a 60-second spot and she said, "I teach people the feminine approach to weight loss. If you've been trying the masculine way, calorie counting, restricting, and linear, I teach the feminine approach." And Kinsey, that's all I needed to hear. I left the conference. There was like 3 more days left. And I was like, that's it. At the time, I followed her on Twitter or something. It was like back in the day. And I immersed myself into her teachings. And I think what I shared with you was it was very soon after immersing myself into the teachings that she offered me, in addition to stopping moving my body in that, again, what felt like a very controlling masculine way, you know, mm-hmm. boot camp style. I found another form of movement that was a fusion of yoga and tribal dance and spiral technique. And so her teachings and moving my body in a more spiral feminine way, within 2 months of having, I had tried for 2 years to get my period back. Within 2 months, my period came back. My sexual aliveness came back, and I'll tell you, and then I'll pass it over to you, but, you know, essentially, there came a point, though, and I feel like, you know, you're in a very similar spot in this moment as that aliveness and that eros is beginning to reawaken inside of your vessel. You know, we all have different reasons why we suppress this, mm-hmm. you know, we as women, you know, and it either wasn't safe or it was going to threaten love or belonging, or there was trauma that makes us suppress our sexual aliveness. But as it comes back on, and as it was coming back on for me, there was like a lot of, it was like, whoa, this is going to fundamentally change my entire life. And I'll never forget, a couple of months into working with my teacher, I sent her an email. I said, "If I continue to work with you, I'm afraid that my marriage won't make it through." Mm-hmm. And she said, "It may not." Yeah. And I said, "Right on. Okay." And I had a choice, and I made the choice to continue forward, you know, in awakening mm-hmm. and hoping that my marriage could bring it back to my marriage. But for me, and I'm sure many women can relate, my marriage at the time only had room for a smaller version of myself and a version that didn't like herself too much. You know, the bigger I got and the more in love with myself I got, it seemed that threatened his security as a partner.
Yeah. Well, you matched at a certain capacity. Yes. And then your capacity is expanding.
Yes. So, yeah. So all of that comes back online, and it was coming back online in every area fundamentally of my life got to change. I moved to New York City. I got divorced. I, you know, I'm not saying this is what's going to happen if you awaken your sexual.
No, but you die.
You die. Yes.
Yeah.
Someone said something like, it's good to die 1,000 deaths before you actually die. Like, this is the path.
Yeah. You die. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, and because you start to enter the land of unknown, because all of those things are a way you can control and you can keep it together, and you feel like you know what's going to happen.
Yes.
You know what's going to happen if you eat this. You know what's going to happen if you do this. When you start to open up this center of divine creation, you're like, I don't know what's going to happen, even though it feels really good.
Yeah.
And it feels expansive.
Mm-hmm.
It's also just, you know, it goes against a lot of what we're, like, it goes against my lineage, you know, it goes against what I've been around, the energy I've been around, what I grew up in. So it's also this free fall of like, wow, am I going to be this pattern breaker, you know, really, truly? And I was reading something or listening to something about what it is to actually be the person who breaks karmic cycles.
Mm.
And it just hits so deeply because it's where I'm at so deeply. But it was like, you have to, you die and you have to feel so much because you're feeling everything that your mm-hmm. bloodline did not mm-hmm. feel.
Yeah.
And it's literally like, I mean, when I say that, I'm like, because that's how every day feels like right now, you know, since I started awakening this area of my body, really, like, my life has changed drastically.
Yeah.
And, but I'm feeling everything. Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, such is the divine feminine, not even divine, the feminine, the Shakti.
Yeah.
The idea of control has now gone out the window, and it's just the actual aliveness of being and feeling everything.
Yeah.
I think it's really amazing that you bring up that point about the ending the karma. It helps to really bring do some sense making around for those who feel like they really are stepping out of their lineage of origin and kind of being a stand for this ends with me, you know, yeah. in my lineage of origin, all the women in my family I've seen and I've worked with, they operated from guilt. You know, it was just like, you know, and I saw at a very early age that I wanted to end that pattern. I had a dream, I believe when I was like 19, where I saw all the women in my family, starting with my mom and her mom and the ones that I recognized. And then there was a line that was like 100 miles long, but they were all gray, and they all had a piece of paper in their hand, and I looked in my dream and it said guilt. And I had a piece of paper in the dream, and I was being given a choice of what I could choose, and I wrote the word love. And I stood in line. And you know, dreams are funny because I've been living into that reality. I mean, it takes, you know, how do I break the pattern of women operating out of guilt and knowing that and this is not to say anything, I'm so grateful for where I've come from. And yeah, it's real, you know.
It's real.
They live with the guilt that's been laid on us from millennia of being, again, going back, of being born woman, you know.
Yeah. And so suppression.
Shame.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so when you're awakening,
yes,
and you're saying, no, I'm not going to be suppressed. I'm not going, like, this ends with me.
Yes.
It's a lot because there's so much that you're feeling.
There's so much, like you said. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because let's say that line of all of their stuff comes to me. And so it's so good for sense making that you're bringing this up.
Mm-hmm.
It even helps me in this moment. It's like, oh yeah, of course, this has been a freaking all out battle, you know? And of course I've felt an elevation of guilt and stress and anxiety in this season that I've been so boldly claiming love, not only loving myself, but being love to others. I mean, you know, without this conversation, I think a lot of women could think that they're doing this work, that they're messed up.
Yeah.
Or doing something wrong.
What's wrong with me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
nah, man.
Why is this so deep? Why can't I just snap it into place? Because it's like you're really doing some deep, sacred work.
Choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That every day takes a choosing.
Yep.
I mean, it's a choosing every day to lean into it.
Yep.
But I think something I felt so just gut yes to you is like this deep remembrance of, oh, I'm actually here for this. Mm-hmm. I'm here to be this. This is what I've been looking for my whole life.
You've really felt like that. Yeah.
Yes.
It's been amazing for you to.
Oh, it's just like my passion, my purpose, why I'm here, my knowing.
Yeah.
And just being able to also connect to who I was when I was born.
No.
You know, because I just know.
Yes.
Yeah. I just had such an awareness at such a young age.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember being born and I just remembered like I'm here for this. And then also just how much shame, guilt, suppression, fear, and the walls went up.
Yep. Yep.
To the last summer, you know, it was like my life, I was pinned against a wall. I had no choice but to make some different moves, and just moving to Austin, it was like I was doing it like a blind mouse, right? And then got to working with you and just like opening my vocal cord.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That was the beginning of it. So let's go there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm brought to this moment in our first ceremony, in our like kind of container, where our first time, so we've done two now, it feels like we've done 100. We spent so much time together, but the official ceremonial container.
Yeah.
I'm reminded for the first few hours, we did a little breath work, a little, you know, but there was really just a meditation. And we were waiting, and there was so much tension in your jaw. And it said to me as a practitioner, I was observing, and I just recall getting that information. It's like, okay, we've just met each other. And I'm like, oh, there's a lot. She's so powerful in being able to push down her voice and her expression, you know? And so it's been so beautiful to see through breath and through various different modalities and techniques, you to just take it and run with it and say, okay, like I'm going to open my voice.
Mm-hmm.
And in just 1 to 2 sessions, there's just like a night and day difference of what I've seen specifically from you. And so we can talk about anything with voice. I think that's.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to just talk about all the work we've been doing and that we also want to share and that you're sharing, but just the connection between how the voice can open this, can open your hips, the dance, all of it, right?
Yes.
How that is the path. Because you hear about Tantra, right? And that was something that Until I started experiencing what I've been experiencing with you was, like we just said, it was this remembering of, oh, this is it. This is the path. This is why I'm here.
Yeah.
And I hadn't known it was these simple modalities that could easily just like bring me here in a moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel so passionate about it.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So let's start with the voice. Okay. What's coming through with that is it's a very exciting time, I find. So as a collective, we've essentially, from my observation, we have really, especially specifically women, we have focused really beautifully on embodiment. Like, how do we get into our bodies? How do we live into our inner bodies? And we can speak about embodiment more, but it's really important to me to say what embodiment is. And I feel that embodiment is a practice, and it's the continual practice of coming alive to the sensations in our body after a time of being away from being alive. So even now in this moment, it's like, okay, like even if it's a moment or a month or a year away from the body, so just whenever we are just, okay, noticing, oh yeah, like my jeans are tight, so I'm just holding my little legs together a lot, but that's okay. I got no other options. But can I relax my shoulders, you know? And just, okay, it's in a practice. So, we've done such amazing work. The journey from the head and thinking into the body is like, it's such a courageous path, and it's such a long journey for so many women because we've been taught to cut off from our neck down and just operate the world intellectually. But there's been an awakening, and we've come into our bodies. And so what I've been observing for the past like 6 years, it's like, okay, we're going to be women who are in our bodies. And the next aspect of being is going to be our voices. Mm-hmm. Can we be embodied women who speak our truth, who express creatively, who take up space and sound, you know, who say what the freak we mean? And so that area of us has been like, I'm so interested in that, in addition to just sound in general. So we got the voice. You mentioned kind of talking about the connection between the voice and the vulva, the vagus nerve. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see a lot more of this, and maybe some people who, you know, are already seeing this, but there's a really built-in brilliant technology within our own. We can turn to nature and turn to our biology to get the information. And what we'll see is that our vocal cords and our vulva, which is another word for vagina, it's actually the proper word for vagina, but our vocal cords and our vulva are identical almost in the way that the anatomy looks. Okay, so from there, there's also a nerve called the vagus nerve that runs actually from the base of the spine all the way through the vocal cords and to the vulva. And this vagus nerve is almost likened to like a tuning fork of the body. So it helps to create harmony and balance within the body. It helps to restore the parasympathetic nervous state, the ventral vagal nervous system state. So we're basically, we have a built-in tuning fork that's available to us that's activated through our voice. And, you know, you and I have talked about this, but one of the most, soothing sounds is the sound of our own voice. Mm-hmm. Our own voice was given to us by the benevolent design to be that which is perfectly tuned to support and soothe and bring our bodies back into balance. So the question becomes, this is great. This is great news. How do we do this? And my specific interest has been in creating a modality in which it's fun. There's a way to actually to get the most out of what we can with the vagus nerve in a way that it's experiential and we don't have to really talk about it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Say no more. Yeah.
Yeah.
But once you experience it once, like yes. I am able to access that every day now on my own. Just zoop.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because once you get, well, yes. So we jump around, but it's very exciting. And there is like a scientist brain in my head. But I, you know, for me as a creator and anything that I've ever put out into the world, I'm always going to run it through the filter of, is this useful? Mm-hmm. How do I make all of this information? Even what we're talking about now, it's great. And for those who have a science mind, it's like very exciting to know the details. But And I'm the kind who can get stuck in that and not actually get into the practice.
Right.
So my filter has always been, how do I take all of this that we know, that I know, and filter it through in a way and give it to the public or some, you know, you, in a way that's really useful and applicable, you know? And so where people can have a direct experience with their voice toning and, you know, awakening their body, and a direct experience with Tantra, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's all in the mind. And people are like, what is Tantra? It's like, bit by bit. Actually, I mean, it does matter and it doesn't. Let's actually get into
just
the body.
Just experience it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, this is actually has been what the body of work that I've created recently called V.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting, but it kind of points to what it is. V signals. It's really for the voice, but it's a movement and sound practice that works with the vagus nerve and the voice and the area of the pelvis and the pelvic floor to bring awaken aliveness in the body and, you know.
Life-changing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like number one fan.
You are. It's been amazing. Yeah. Yeah. It's
because it's just such a powerful method and powerful teaching.
Yeah.
Where you don't need to go read about it or, you know, I've read, I love reading about Tantra. I love, right. But this is like, I get to experience and not only Tantra, but like the animal body.
Yes.
I get
yes.
to be a cat. I get to remember who I am. Mm-hmm. I get to meet parts of myself during the hour practice, right? That I don't want to meet.
Yes.
And then I meet her.
Ooh, ooh,
yeah.
Ooh.
And just unlocking the hips and the voice. Yeah. And I just feel like it's just a powerful transmission and practice to remember who you really are in your rawness.
Yes.
And that's, I feel like, where we're headed and why this work is so important right now is because we all need to be raw and real and in our truth.
Yeah.
That's what the world needs. That's what the world wants. That's what's going to work.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what the best way I know how to invite people into that space is to provide them with the, something they can do that gives them a direct experience of that. But there are core teachings underneath V that are kind of operating under the surface that are informing the entire way we design the class and the reason it's happening. And one thing that you mentioned is our bodies are animals. That was what, you know, going back to when I was like throwing my scale off the thing, you know, to like, I don't know what's going to heal me. The first bridge that got me from hating my body to having a loving relationship was my teacher taught me that my body was an animal. And I remember thinking, that's a very strange thing to think, you know, but she really guided me to consider your body as an animal. It's a living, breathing mammal, and it's not an it to be controlled. It is your number one ally in this life. And if we think about, of course, these bodies, they're animals. They're here
to be expressed.
Yes. And when they're suppressed, you know, a lot of ailments, you know, the suppression of our animal is, I believe, the large, if not primary source of so much of our ailments, you know, depression, anxiety, stress, you know, all the different things that can come as a result of domesticating and abusing. I mean, she had me get very present to the state of the relationship I had with my body, like just as I would a friend. She was like, what's your relationship like with her? And I was like, abusive, neglectful. You know, she was, I pictured her as a horse in the corner, just like curled up and shivering because of how much I'd hated her with my language and how much I'd put her through these punishing workouts, you know, when she really wanted to be free and move. So it was reestablishing that, you know, loving relationship. It was a whole, you know, if anything I'm proud of, it's proud of working with that in my life, you know, and healing that. So yes, this practice of V has that as the underpinnings. It's like restoring the dignity to our bodies and removing the stigma of what it may occur like. So, because many times throughout practice, it may look like from the outside that we're, you know, barbaric.
Yeah, but that's what's so freeing.
Yeah.
And that's how you teach yourself how to love yourself too.
Yes.
It's just allowing yourself to be. And I think why I love the voice so much, and this definitely comes from my lineage, but just allowing the sound that needs to come out.
Yeah.
And not being afraid of it.
Yes, yes, yes.
and not being afraid that it's not sexy. Or, and what I love about V too is it's like your nastiness kind of comes out, but your sexiness comes out too. Cause like there's music and you're moving your hips and it gets hot.
Yeah.
And you're just like, ah.
Yep.
And it's so freeing.
Yeah. I love that you say that your nastiness, but your sexiness, it's like they're kind of
but like
interchangeable.
That is so hot.
It is.
Yeah. 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 And I think that's what's so freeing to be able to step into is just all of you.
Yes. Yes. You know, it's your Eros. Mm-hmm. Eros is essentially the aliveness that's permeating all of existence. You know, it's that which permeates all things and brings them into life, and it lives within us, especially in the female body. It sits at the base of our spine to be awakened and to allow it to permeate. And so, you know, one of the greater teachings that also helped me after I discovered that my body was an animal, I also discovered the teaching of erotic innocence, and that to say that our bodies, just like animals in nature, we can look to nature and see that there's no shame. An animal in nature moves towards that which feels good. Mm-hmm. And shakes their body.
Shakes it off when it ain't good.
Well, shakes it off when it roars when they need to roar. There's, you know, and then if it doesn't feel good, they move away from it. So there's the innocence to their Eros, you know. And all we need to do is look to nature and look to animals to love ourselves a little bit more and to give compassion and understand. So anyways, just mentioning that, you know, there's also that happening inside of class is like this return to our erotic innocence and claiming, you know, really going to the edge. I love how you say it. Like you go to the edge of these places within ourselves in class, whether it's sensual or feels sexy or feels raw. There's portions of class where I really invite the predator out in us. Mm-hmm. And that's a part of me being kind of a former people pleaser that I'm not as comfortable with expressing that part of me that's going to like
dominate here.
And kill something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's good. My physical body needs that gripping, you know, so we get our mats or not our mats, but our, at the time, you know, we get our towels, but I'm looking forward to like designing something.
That's my favorite part. I have a harder time with the soft parts.
Mm, perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. And so we go to the edge of our discomforts, but that's the invitation inside the practice, which is really the invitation of Tantra, is to stay present inside of increased sensation. Mm-hmm. Can we stay present and just breathe? And that's where our power really comes from, is as things get more intense or more uncomfortable to the degree that you're able, you know, can we stay with it and stay with our breath? So a lot of things are happening inside of the V practice, but I love that you continue, you know, the thing that distinguishes it the most is as a practitioner, I've taught many years of movement. After I quit being a personal trainer, I taught movement and yoga and dance for many years. And so this has been kind of I stopped teaching for about 4 years. And just recently when we met, kind of came out with this body of work. So it's been so fun to get to do it with you. And what I really am excited to see is a world where it's as normal as ever to just be walking down the street and people are just like groaning and sounding and singing, you know, meaning normalizing making sound and using it as a healing modality to feel good in our bodies. And so doing that inside of V and just normalizing. And so throughout, from the beginning of practice, we are connecting between our pelvic floor and our voice. We're using the vagus nerve and we're just like going for it and continuing to build that throughout class.
When did you start using your voice? And when did you make that connection? And how did you start creating V?
Okay, when did I start using my voice?
Like, when did you really make that connection and that really come online for you?
Oh, I had to try. I'm like, where did it start? My teacher again. God bless these teachers. So, as you know, I came to her because I was hoping to increase my libido and she was supporting me in having a better sex life, which ultimately did not work out with my husband, but I did move to New York City and figured some things out.
Sex in the City.
Yeah, exactly. I literally tried to relive that. Anywho, she taught me this very interesting. She taught me that, so it started here where she said, she said that to have an orgasm, she said, you got to inhale. And on the exhale, she said, you have to be willing to sound like a walrus as you're making love and just, oh.
So true.
It's so true.
Oh my gosh, it's so true. Yes. You know when someone says something, you're like, okay, I'm not the only one. Or like you see a meme and you're like, I'm not the only one.
Yes, yes, yes. And so I was so grateful to her. And that was like 12 years ago or whatever at the time. And so it was just a little edgy for me, but sure enough, I'm going to put it just like you do with me. You know, like Native American flute it is.
Yeah. You tell me, I'm like, I'm on it.
So, you know, it's just for those who are listening, if you want to give it a try, it's 6 inhales through your, so you're making love, you're doing your thing, and you want to, you know, just increase sensation and really relax into your pelvis. The opportunity, something that you can do is 6, like sipping through a straw, and then opening and relaxing your jaw. And it's like, I mean, I would really get into it, but I know I've got a mic here, but just imagine and like maybe letting your partner know that this is going to be going down if that's, you know, but you'll notice. And even now you can see the connection just instantly. And she invited me to see the connection. Notice when your jaw relaxes from that, your pelvis opens up, your yoni opens up, your vulva opens up. It can receive what's coming in. That, of course, if you're having sex with a male partner or a dildo or strap on. Anyways, if something's entering you, it's nice to have that ability to just really open. Relax and open if you've got female anatomy. So that's when it started. And I was like, what? This is amazing, you know? And so I created a couple of programs a couple of years after that called Embodied Express something. You never know. You know how you create so many things. But it was great. It was exploring the connection between our sacral and our throat chakra. And I tell you, every single time I put something like that out, women just intuitively like, yes, I didn't have to do much promoting at all. They really, really intuitively like, I know there's something here. As I open my voice, I free my sex. As I free my sex, I free my voice. And there's a connection happening there. So anyway, you know, and just like a lot of entrepreneurs or maybe just creatives, I've come in and out of really saying I teach that work. And I went through a lot of different you know, I did that a few times, and then who knows, life has a funny way of doing other things. But I always kept that in mind, and I always felt from spirit that that would be something that I would really focus on and teach, because it's something that I really see as being, like I said, useful and valuable for women to just be aware, you know. Even now, you can just like relax your jaw, and you can really notice, oh yeah, my hips are relaxing as well.
Yeah.
And there's benefit to that, you know, for everything that we say. I know we as women want, you know, increased pleasure, enjoyment, aliveness. So then you asked me when I created V.
So then how did V come through?
Yes. Okay. So V came through. V came through actually in a plant medicine journey for me. I guided myself through one, and with the question of, what it was that I was here to bring forth to the world. And let me tell you, Kinsey, that was 7 years ago. So anyone that had, you know, here's what I'll say about that. Yeah, I got the vision of what it was, and I got the message of what it could be, and how it would be a place for women would see the V and they would know, this is something I get to, you know, to do. And that it was to be a movement and sound practice that helped set the body and the voice free. And that it was meant to be sexy and fun, and but also based on ancient knowledge, you know. And at the time, I needed to receive that medicine for myself. I wasn't, you know, I can say it a million different ways. I was, you know, not, I was playing small and not being big. And it's like, sure. And I really do think, especially in our line of work and in our industry, that there's value to actually, not to actually, but there's value to being the embodiment of what it is that you seek to teach before teaching it. So I got the vision of what it was, and it stayed with me, and it always was knocking on my soul. But I was like, "Bit, just a minute, I ain't ready for you yet," you know? And so it was really in the past year, I think it was probably in the past 6 months, past year, that I kind of dusted off my Google Docs and like sat down again and pulled up what I had worked on. And I was like, oh yeah. And so I put away the Google Docs and I rolled out my mat at my house. I sat down and I invited in grace, and I asked to show me how the body wants to move, tuning into not just my own body, but other women's bodies everywhere. And what came through was so much better and so beyond what I could have imagined. So much so that I was like, really? This is how the body wants? This is how the collective needs to move? And again, within my creative inspiration, whether it was Grace or my higher self informing me, there was this kind of mad scientist phase where I was really collecting what this wanted to be. And so over the past 6 months, I've been really collecting that, and it's been coming through real hot, you know, and it's been exciting. And, you know, I can share more about what I was shown, but that's kind of how it's coming to be.
Share more about it.
Well, something that I was really surprised to find, because it's just, but it makes sense, is like the opening of practice. You know, I was going into it like I had so many times before with different ways of teaching movement. And I kept getting schooled by spirit, being like, no, slower. Mm. No. I'm like, wait, what? How slow do we have to go at the beginning, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was shown it's like, to spend a good amount of time really allowing people to arrive.
Yeah, it's a big unwinding, that yeah. bit in the beginning.
Yeah.
And it really does serve where you go.
Yes, and so much so. I mean, I've been on the side creating a teacher manual, because the way my mind works, and we've talked about this, mm-hmm. is I started to think, okay, I actually can capture what this is by thinking about eventually teaching someone else to teach it, mm-hmm. which maybe it will be you soon.
Me. Yeah. First in line.
Yes. And so in that training manual, exactly what you're saying, as I'm writing the teacher manual, again, there's a kind of that element of really being with my higher self and listening deeply to what this wants to be. So it's not little Mary Catherine, it feels. It feels like I'm, you know, and I mean, it can, in the manual, it says like it cannot be understated how essential it is. The way you start class informs how good the rest of the class is going to be. I think that we can transfer that to pretty much anything. Mm-hmm. But yes, you know, how we start. So that's one thing that came through, is like really, really guiding people as a facilitator to arrive, and to also guide them to begin to bring their mind's eye and their mind's awareness to their pelvic bowl. Feel that. To the voice, feel that. Now notice the connection between the two, and let's build that. Then we move into practice, and there's more that was revealed.
I love it all.
Yeah. And the only other thing I'll say is just how much time in the first part of class I was shown that we as women, we need to get to spend time on opening our hips.
Yeah.
We do a lot of hip opening. We take a lot of time there before we get to build.
You have to. Yeah.
Yeah, and just taking the time, you know, this is a very tantric way of being as well. It's like slowing down and being with like the sweetness. Mm-hmm. But as women, you know, we're so attuned and sensitive to others that often it's not as easy to feel what is our energy? What do I feel like? And so going back to why I haven't launched V, I spent many years in a lot of, I wouldn't say isolation, but very selective doing things else, to actually cut out all the noise and feel, what does my energy feel like? You know, who am I? What is my essence? And doing that work of really turning down the noise and taking time to be with just myself instilled in me not only like so much self-worth, because when we can really feel what our energy feels like, we'll be like, this is what it feels like to be loved by me. This is valuable. I'm not going to give this away to any, you know, mm-hmm. I'm not going to just, yeah, dish it out. So mm-hmm. I say all that to say, also going slow, having awareness and building into the pelvis, you know, I really believe that the soul lives at the base of the spine. You know, there's that energy. So can we taste it and just attune to it and feel it? And then now let's move it through the body and allow it to purify and heal. You know, so really it's just you healing yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And learning how to be with yourself. Yes. And I think I love what you just said about how you spent years being with yourself. Yes. Just because that's like, I have to be with, I feel like that's a part of doing this work and yeah. choosing this path, is that you have to slow down and learn how to be with yourself. Mm. That's what this work is, truly.
Yeah.
Is learning how to be with every little bit of yourself and your sensations yeah. and just your sweetness. And we live in a world that's like, go, go, go. What are you doing? Who are you? Da, 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 da. And, you know, it takes practice to be like,
discipline
and courage.
Yes.
And trust.
Trust.
Yeah. to be like, I'm going to slow down, because truly this is a superpower.
Which one?
Slowing down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What we do in V, opening,
yeah,
knowing, using our voice. Like, that's what we're all looking for as women.
It is. Yeah. Oh, man. I think this, what we're talking about here, is like the most fundamental thing. Mm-hmm. I would love to, you know, really just being aware. If you're feeling anxious or like spread thin, like, I don't know. I don't know either. I don't know. I've tried a million different ways. The only way that worked for me was when I pulled it in, was very clear about what I would say yes to and what I would say no to. And in that season of life, I found myself. Mm-hmm. And then after a time doing that, I was ready to offer something of value for mm-hmm. me to the world. You know, mm-hmm. something that I felt that I could be in accordance with, you know, of course, in collaboration with Grace, but I was one with, you know, in the ancient times, they call, you know, a virgin, you know, the Virgin Mary. I'm thinking of her in this moment from the Bible. Virgin actually just means a woman onto herself. So it's not necessary that Mother Mary was actually a virgin who hadn't had sex. She was a woman onto herself. She was a very revered woman who knew who she was, who was contained in her being, who was holy and righteous. And so she was selected to, like, you know, birth God. I mean, you know, we don't need to get in all that.
Get cozy, folks.
Yeah. All I'm saying is there's value in, you know, being a woman unto yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and knowing who you are and what your energy feels like.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's that deep, you know, karmic pattern breaking too that you do, you know?
Yeah.
To do that.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Oh, yeah. Breaking the martyr.
Mm-hmm.
Prostrating ourselves so that mm-hmm. all can have a peace. The mother mm-hmm. that gives so much and has, you know, and I can't, you know, I don't speak from experience there, but yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all that's happening in the V. It's a beast to facilitate, you know,
yeah.
You got to be it. You got to, you know, it's a lot of different pieces that are moving, but that's what's so exciting because, you know, as a human, I'm like, these are all practices I want to do, but to be honest, sometimes I just don't, you know, and it's really cool to get to create something that's a way that people can say, okay, all these things that I feel drawn to, yes, tantra, yes, embodiment, yes, opening my voice.
You get to go experience it. And you get to go through all the different elements and meet those parts of yourself and take away mm-hmm. from it. I mean, I'm like using my voice all the time now. I'm just noticing that. I'm noticing my own pleasure practice is so much stronger. I just, because you take those bits and pieces and you bring them into your everyday life.
Yeah, you're really doing it.
Oh, I'm really doing it.
Why don't you tell us, Kenzie?
I'm doing it every day.
You are. Yeah, and you're singing.
Mm-hmm.
This has been so amazing. Yeah. So going back to that first ceremony where the jaw was so tight now.
Yeah, our second ceremony, I was like, what is that one movie where she's...
The hills are alive, yes.
But I was more like this.
You were exquisite. And it was such an absolute, absolute honor to witness you.
Thank you.
And to see you. The transition from the first one, mm-hmm. which was... I mean, it was you, but it was you with a lot of burden, mm-hmm. you know, and a lot of holding. And I won't share, obviously, all that, but.
No, it's okay.
To just the
it's a part of my
significant
story.
Difference in your expression. And I'll just never forget you dancing and sounding and singing and it's so devoted. It was so beautiful to get to do that with you.
Yeah.
To get to see you. That's just the win.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it's a testament to your work too. Cause you really held a safe space, and like how you speak of your teachers, I told you this, but it's like I immediately felt that with you.
Mm.
Just so much resonance and so much like, yes.
Yeah.
And I like all the stories because I like sharing the stories on here because it's like we all feel these things, you know? And everyone's path is different, but for those who feel like it'll never happen for me, mm-hmm. you know, to know that it can.
Yes.
And to, like with V, why I'm so passionate about being like, let's get this out there is because, you can experience yourself in a way that I've never experienced before.
Yes. And just with the breath.
Yeah.
And the body.
And the body.
Some dope ass music.
Music. Love the music.
It's so fun. And we're going to have so much fun with it. There's so many places that, yeah, it can go.
Yeah. We've done live ones in Austin.
Yes. Yes. And those are so great. And the feedback has been incredible. And it's just really exciting to be getting started. And again, you know, something at the end of V, we sing together. And that's so, there's something part of us, I think, that remembers what it's like to just sing together. And
with
that's,
other women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think that's a lot of the reason I was drawn to church for so many years. I just loved singing and together with people.
This is,
you know, and we've become so removed from that. And so, I just, when I was doing yoga at the end, I don't know about you, but I always was like, I want to sing. I open my voice. So
yeah, that's why I love my new yoga studio, because we sing at the end.
You do?
Yeah, every class. It's just so nice.
Yeah, it's like the energy wants to go out the body, out the throat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it almost says like an oath to what you just did, you know?
Yeah.
It's a thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I love the singing.
Yeah. You're so nice. I love that you're singing a lot. So, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And we're going to bring it to this audience. A little taste of it.
Yes.
Yes. A little taste of V.
A little taste of V. We'll call it that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is going to be great. And I know whatever we create with that is going to, I know with our intention, I feel that that's going to be such a special thing for anyone to get to be a part of. And it'll be so awesome to have people come and experience it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think if you feel called, it's something to experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
For yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's, and you may find afterwards that there's stuff that you want to learn, you know, and you want to dive deeper into the path of whether it's tantra or embodiment or whatever.
Yeah, that's what it did for me.
Yeah. There's books.
Changed my life.
Yeah.
This is it?
It's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about, yeah.
What?
Well, with you, you know, you're one of the first people that I've heard say that you remember being born.
Mm.
That's a pretty big statement to say. I'm sure not many people can say they remember being born.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's that, talk about my story being powerful. I just think yours is as well, because then you're in this world and you're like, what is all of this? And the way that people are relating with each other, the density of it, the harshness of it. I'm not one to really understand. I don't try to get too like absolute about where we come from, but it seems to me that you do remember union.
Mm-hmm.
You remember being one with love.
Yeah, I have a very hard time being here.
Yeah.
On Earth.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people, absolutely more than ever now, can relate with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've told you on sidebars just how courageous it is that you choose to be here, that you choose to like get into your body, that you choose to make sound and say, I'm here, and you be with the.
Yeah.
But you do have a hard time being here. But
yeah. That's why this time in my life is so hard, because it's hard to be here and I have to choose every day to use my voice, to use my body, to choose to stay here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for those of us who, you know, and there's the Bible, I'm going to always break, but it's true, you know, there's a verse in the Bible that says, God has put a hole in our heart that we might know, that we might remember.
Mm.
And there's those of us who are very connected to that longing and that remembering of what it was like to be in union and be one and things to be better, you know, and as we awaken, we're united with that remembering. And I just am acknowledging how sensitive you are to that and how much contrast it does feel like this particular world. And so, again, just deep reverence and bow for you and for anyone, myself included, but who is that sensitive and chooses to be here, you know, and feel in that. I really, we should, if I don't know how much time we have, but really talking about the intensity of that sensation of how hard it's been for you, for instance, and what you've been doing as far as like really breathing into it and staying with it and alchemizing it.
Yeah. And going into it.
Yeah.
Like even with the breath, you know, there's moments where I'm doing my practices and really connecting like my breath, my head to my, you know, this whole area. Yeah. And having to like really take a deep breath to drop in and just like I have morbid thoughts of like, do I want to?
Yeah.
You know, like, do I want to? And even in all this work, it's like really claiming that I'm here, you know, and I've told you this, but like just the dreams of like people like closing my throat and just, you know, like just really seeing how, you know, life, like I've always been kind of here, disconnected from my body. And this whole call in the past 3-4 months is connecting into my body and how hard that is because it's like choosing to be here by connecting in.
Yep.
And saying like, I'm going to be here.
Yep.
And I do see myself every day because I'm just, I'm comfortable with, and you open this podcast with saying, you know, the realms you're comfortable. I love it there.
Oh yeah.
It's when I have to be here that I am learning how to be here deeply.
Yep.
And needing to be here, you know, and that's the other thing is like, I got to a place in my life where it was like, you have to learn how to be here or it's not going to go over well. You might not be here if you don't choose to be here.
Yeah, you know, and there's a couple different things happening there. There's the disassociative part. I'm more comfortable in the spirit realm. You're more comfortable playing with the unseen world.
Yeah, like I could do it every day, all day.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's value in that. And then there's, if I may, you know, there's also what we've talked about, myself included, I very much worked through this, is the frozen state, being frozen. You know, and the path for anyone who feels, you know, for me, I'll speak for myself, is like I've endured a lot of abuse and trauma. And as a result, I've gone into different states. You know, sometimes I go hypervigilance, fight, you know, like make a lot of money, you know, respond in that way. Mm-hmm. But my default is freeze, depression, sadness, you know, has been. And so, like coming alive to the sensations in the body and
when you feel dead, you're just like, all right,
like, let me just,
on.
Yes,
come on in.
Exactly. And like, yeah. So just acknowledging, you know, for anyone experiencing freeze or numbness, especially numbness in sex, that's something I've very much dealt with, very much had to work through and very much have used sound and toning. And that's what I'll say, and I'm glad we're speaking about this, for anyone who's experiencing numbness or, you know, lethargy or depression or freezing, you know, you can't feel anything. Someone says, what do you feel? You're like, I don't know. Or if you're having sex or making love and you're like, actually really aren't feeling anything, I just first of all say that everything's okay, you know, and there is a path forward. And it is the most courageous thing for anyone in that situation, I find, to take a deep breath, because it's better to breathe shallow in those moments because everything that's down there is so painful or nothing or numb. And to know that you're numb is like, can be terrifying. Will I ever not be numb? I've been there and just crying because I'm like, I don't feel alive because of all the trauma and all the things that have happened. And so what I've learned in my studies of the nervous system and somatics is essentially those are the times to really amp up, if you can, amp up the breath, amp up the toning, amp up the sound. Like, so again, I've been practicing this a lot in lovemaking. It's like, if I'm noticing I'm not feeling, I'm just a walrus making sounds, you know? And then in my own personal practice, you know, if I'm working with like yoni massage or breast massage, I'm like, I don't feel anything, you know? And it's like, all right,
you have to use your sound.
Whew, let me breathe the breath and sound. And like, it could just be a lot.
And practicing that yourself helps you, I think, than practice it with another. because you get comfortable with it and you start to learn your body and be like, oh, when I make this sound, Absolutely. This happens and it's okay. And
I highly recommend doing that.
But yes, like to what you're saying about being in a freeze state, you have to get yourself there. You know, you have to meet yourself and you have that resistance.
Talked about that and we're like, this is the work, you know? And so just acknowledging to whatever extent that you've, which I think I'm just acknowledging you, you've been doing it. Mm-hmm. When you say I'm doing it, it's you're doing it.
Yeah.
In the places where you might want to just, you know, check out, just saying, all right, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming, you know, like take a quick moment. I'm getting back in the game, you know, of life to be here and be fully alive here. Dang it.
Yeah.
It's like, it's what we're here to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And we chose it.
We did. Thank you. That's exactly it. We chose it.
Yeah. We chose to be here.
And to be alive.
Yeah.
And to not be numb.
Yeah.
And it's a lot to not be numb. And I'm not, you know, do what you need to do. Take a quick break, get a little water break, but get back in that game. Breathe, sound, tone, feel.
Come to be.
And learn what that, you know. Yeah. I love it because we go to the edges of that and get to kind of go to places that, that maybe we, in a contained environment, so that my intention is that this applies to other areas of your life. Because if you can handle the intensity in there, you can handle intensity in your life. And that's power. If we can stay present inside of increased sensation, then you are the most powerful one in the room.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how hot it gets, no matter how cold, no matter how intense, no matter how much your lover's getting angry, you are not shaken. You are present and aware of sensations in your body, and you are connected to your heart, and you're living, you're in your love, you know? Anywho, these are the things I get very excited about.
Well, these are the things. These are the things. This is how we live.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for everyone too. Everyone who feels called to experience.
Yes. Yes.
These teachings in this way.
Yeah. To come experience it.
Yeah.
And we'll put it in a really, I think I'm excited to see how we want to package it.
Yes.
But essentially it's, let's come together and experience this together.
Yeah.
It'll be so great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyone listening, stay connected on Instagram.
Yes. There will be, fun stuff coming.
We got stuff for Instagram.
Yes.
Yes.
Wow.
Thank you so much for coming on. And also just during this time in my life, because it's so hard to do this.
Yeah.
You know?
Be front facing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So thank you.
One of my teachers, we do a bragging or celebrating. So I just want to end with celebrating you.
Thank you.
And acknowledging your courage, your fierceness, you know, I see you so deeply. I see that you are such a trailblazer, a fearless leader, your willingness to go into the dark places and to be kind of the spearhead of that. Mm-hmm. It's a unique medicine. It's one that I really honor in you that I don't necessarily have and that is really needed in this world. Want those light warriors who are willing to go to the hard places and to be willing to be misunderstood, you know, those who are willing to transform all the time for the sake of love, for the sake of truth. That's you.
Mm-hmm.
So I can imagine that it hasn't been the easiest path because you're constantly transforming, but you're doing it for truth and you're willing to go into the mystery. And because of that, those of us like myself can ride in right behind you and have a little more ease because you've lit the path. I see that in you.
Thank you.
I see that that's what you are, who you be. And so thank you for taking the time necessary to recede back a moment, to love on yourself, to care for yourself, and to, when you are ready and as you're ready and even now, to blaze forward because we need you. And we respect you and we love you and we see you and I see you.
Thank you.
And I'm grateful to be in your downwind.
I got lots of wind for you coming.
Downwind, because you know, you're going in.
Mm-hmm.
And you're so generous, your generosity of being. It's nice to know you as on a personal level. I know a lot of people don't have that privilege yet, mm-hmm. because, you know, I have a public figure, but I can say knowing you on a personal level is a profound honor. You are so playful and fun and kind and thoughtful and generous.
Thank you.
So I celebrate you, woman.
Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Aho and amen.
Aho and amen. So it is.
Yes.
Thank you so much for listening. If you liked this conversation and if you liked this podcast, it would mean the world to me if you gave it a rating and review. To stay connected, you can follow me on Instagram at Kenzie Burke. That is the home to all my endeavors, everyday life, and everything that is an extension of all that I do. At Body Forward and bodyforward.com is the home of Body Forward. There is so much coming in this new year, from new programs to an entirely new membership platform and a whole new method that I have been creating that has ultimately been transforming and changing my life before my own eyes. I've done so many things in my lifetime on my own healing path and journey, and I have meshed the most powerful aspects of what has really moved my life forward into one modality, and that will be out into the world within no time. So stay tuned, stay connected, and I will see you on the next episode. Have a beautiful day.